All right, so we'll say good morning. So today's daf is Ayin Ches. We are picking up again Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, three lines up from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So let's say we begin with an interesting sugya today. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Chacham Sha'amar Balashon Baal, Ubaal Sha'amar Balashon Chacham. So listen to these cases. You have a Chacham who went ahead. Remember, we've been speaking about over the last couple of days the two different manners of revocation. So a Chacham does something that is called Hatara, right? So Hatara ultimately, now these words often translate as the same way, he permits the vow versus the husband who does Hafara, which means he annuls the vow. So we'll say there are a couple of nafkaminas we'll see. First of all, they employ different wording. And number two, remember again that the Hatara of a Chacham retroactively uproots the neder versus the hafara of a husband just simply stops the neder in its tracks. It's a very important fundamental distinction. So Rabbi Yochanan, Chacham Sha'amar Belashon Baal. Let's say a Chacham tries to annul the vow Belashon Baal, meaning he tries to go ahead and annul the vow by using a lashon of hafara. Ubaal Sha'amar Belashon Chacham, or the husband tries to negate the vow using lashon of the Chacham of Hatara. So what's the halacha? Lo amar klum. So again, their statements are meaningless. So we'll say, each one could only use the right their particular lashon. Take a look at the Rush for just a moment. So whatever side of the page you have it on. So the second to last Rush of the daf. Chacham Sha'amar Belashon Baal, Belashon Hafara, Lo amar klum. Dafara mashma mikan ulahaba, v'tam kimo es brisi hefer, v'chein baal sharon balashon hatara, lo amra klum, kadeh litein chilik bin afaras baal hataras chacham. So most of what we just said outside. So remember, if a chacham tries to use lashon of hafara, which indicates that the vow is negated from here going forward, or the husband tries to use lashon of hatara, which indicates that it's retroactively voided, again, such revocations are ineffective, meaning each one could only use their respective lashon. This sanya, because we learned, zehadavar, this is the thing. We learn from this, hachacham matir, vein ba matir, because it will say, so zehadavar teaches us again, this pasuk is, vaydaber Moshe el roshe hamatos, lefnei Yisrael leimor, zehadavar shatzivashan, parsha of nedarim. So we'll say, the idea of zehadavar means, there's a certain way that things are done. And you cannot go ahead and deviate from that particular seder. So what does that mean? Zadavar, chacham matir, vein ba matir. Only a chacham could use lashon of hatara, and a baal cannot. Shiyachol, because I would have thought, uma chacham shein mafir matir. If a chacham who doesn't have the ability to do hafara has the ability to do hatara, baal shemefer einu din shematir. So a husband who does hafara should he certainly not have the ability to do hatara as well? Talmud lomar tapa vayin ches. Talmud lomar zehadavar. Therefore, the pasuk says, no, that there is a particular order. Bless you. Chacham matir ve'in baal matir. That it is only a chacham who has the ability to do hatara and not a chacham. Rabbi say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. So, I'm sorry, thank you. It is only the chacham who has the ability to do hatara and the husband does not have the ability to do hatara. Take a look at Rashi. Tavrashim dav zehadavar shetziva Hashem. Dvarim kichsavon. That the way the pasuk phrases it is explicit. De'ein bal matir, a husband does not have the ability to do hatara d'chsev im hafer yafer osam isha. So we'll say halacha l'maaseh. What the Gemara now is teaching me is that these processes are unique and distinct for each of the parties involved. Husband has the ability to do hafara, which means he voids the vow from the moment that he annuls it going forward. Chacham has the ability to do hatara, retroactively uproot the neder, but neither can use the process of the other. Tanya idoch, you another braisa. Zehadavar bal mefer, vein chacham mefer. So also you have another braisa that says, now again, same pasuk, zehadavar, which means this is the matter, meaning that this is the way that things must be done and you cannot change the order. So zehadavar bal mefer, vein chacham mefer. This teaches us that a husband does hafara, and the chacham cannot do hafara. Shiyachol, I might have thought, uma bal she'in matir mefer. A husband doesn't have the ability to do hatara, does hafara. So chacham shematir eino din shemefer. So a chacham who does hatara, should he not be able to do hafara as well? Talmud lomar ze hadavar bal mefer mein chacham mefer. Therefore, the pasuk teaches me zehadavar. This is the particular order teaching me that a husband could do hafara, but a chacham cannot do hafara. Fine. So the Rosh, now that we introduced these pesukim, I think we're going to take this a little bit further. So ne'emar kan zehadavar, B'ne'emar lahalon zehadavar. So we'll say, it says zehadavar over here, by the parsha of Nidarim, and it says over there, zehadavar as well. And we'll say, now, the over there is talking about the following. Zedaber el Aaron ve'el bonov ve'el kol b'nei Yisrael, va'amarta aleihem zehadavar asher tziva Hashem leimar. Now the pasuk is talking about the shchutei chutz, that you are not permitted to go ahead and slaughter korbanos outside of the confines of the Beis HaMikdash. So it uses the same lashon of zehadavar by nedarim and zehadavar by shchutei chutz, by slaughtering korbanos outside of the confines of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, so ne'amar kan zehadavar, ve'ne'amar lahalon zehadavar b'shchutei chutz. Ma b'shchutei chutz Aaron ubanov v'kol Yisrael. So we'll say, just like by shchutei chutz, who does the prohibition of slaughtering animals outside of slaughtering sacrificial animals outside of the confines of the Beis HaMikdash devolve upon? It's upon Aaron, his sons, and all of, in other words, all of Klal Yisrael. So we'll say, take a look at Rashi, the Ran, excuse me, for just a moment, almost right across in the Ran. Ma b'shchutei chutz Aaron ubanov v'kol Yisrael. The hak siv bereisha hi parsha, because it says at the beginning of that parsha, daber el Aaron ve'el banav ve'el kol b'nei Yisrael. Pasuk says, speak to Aaron, to his sons, and to all of Klal Yisrael. Shekulon shavin ba. Everyone is shav. Everyone has an equal share in this parsha. Or to say, the parsha is equally applicable to everyone. Af the parsha's nedarim, Aaron ubanav ve'chol Yisrael. The kulon kshirin lahaptir es haneder. So we'll say. So we'll see. We'll make that jump in just a moment. So the parsha shchutei chutz applies to everyone. So the parsha shchutei chutz applies to everyone. So too, af parshas nedarim, Aaron uvanov v'chol Yisrael. So too again, the parsha of nedarim is what is ultimately applicable to everyone. Now we'll say. Now the Ran tells me what that means is, everyone is permitted to be matir nadar. Everyone has the power to permit nadar. Now we'll discuss what that means in just a moment. Umakan Roshe Hamatos. And Abba said, just like it says over here, by nadarim, it uses the lashon of Roshe Hamatos, that Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to the heads of the tribes. Af lahalon b'Roshe Hamatos. So too by Shchutei Chutz, it's Roshe Hamatos as well. Now what does that mean? Take a look at the Ran. Makan Roshe Hamatos. Benedarim de Roshe Hamatos Ksiv Behu, Af Lahalon Bishchutei Chutz Roshe Hamatos. Mafarish the Kamala Mahilcha. So we're going to discuss in a few moments what exactly that means. So listen to this. Amar Avachar by Yaakov. So Avachar, excuse me. Lamayilcha. So we'll say, so what does that mean ultimately again when we say the Roshe Hamatos? What is this coming to teach me? To which the Amar Avachar by Yaakov Lahachshir Shlosha Hadyotos. Oh. It's coming to teach me, Rabosei, when it says that this concept ultimately applies to all of these individuals, when it says to Aaron, his sons, Kolad As Yisrael, what is that coming to teach me? It's coming to teach me that Hataras Nedarim could take place with three Hadyotos, even three regular people. Right, Rabosei, we spoke about this yesterday, that you could either use a Yachid Mumcha, an expert individual, or a basin made up of any three people. So Mar says, you could use three regular people for Hataras Nedarim, Vaha Rashi Hamatos Ksiv. But the Pasuk says Rashi Hamatos, which seems to convey what? Which would seem to indicate that Lamaisa, you need the distinguished individuals for Hataras Nedarim. Amrav Chistavitim Rav Yochanan, Biyachid Mumcha. No, Rashi Hamatos means that just like a Rosh Hamata is someone who is uniquely distinguished, so too again, Hataras Nedarim could be done in one of two ways. Either through three regular people or through Roshe Hamatos, through people like Roshe Hamatos, i.e. a Yochid Mumcha, an individual ultimately, again, who is considered to be an expert on his own. Roshe Hamatos b'shchutei chutz l'mayel chasal. We'll say, what does Roshe Hamatos teach us by the halacha of shchutei chutz, of the prohibition to slaughter an animal outside of the confines of the Beis HaMikdash? Rav Sheshes said, lomar sheyesh she'ela behekdish. This comes to teach us that what? That there is revocation by Hekdish. Now, what does it mean there is revocation by Hekdish? Take a look at the Ran, the second to last short line. Lomar Shiye Sheila Behekdish, She'im Hekdish Behema V'shachta B'chutz. That if you went ahead and you sanctified an animal, and then you slaughtered it outside of the confines of the Beis HaMikdash, the Acher Kach Nishal Aleha. Then what happens? Then you did hataras nedarim. Because we'll say, remember, any time you make an animal hekdish, that is essentially a neder. That's a neder. So imagine this following case. I make an animal hekdish. I then go ahead and slaughter it outside of the Beis HaMikdash. I've committed a prohibition. Then I have a great chab. There's a way I can get out of the prohibition. How? Let me go do hataras nedarim. Because when you do hataras nedarim, we'll say, what happens when you do hatara to a neder? It retroactively uproots it. If retroactively uproots it, that means the animal I slaughtered outside of the Beis HaMikdash was what? Was an unconsecrated animal. So therefore, again, the Gemara wants to suggest over here that Rashi Amatos teaches us over here that Lamaisa, there is the power of revocation by a neder of Hekdish as well. Aye, but Lebeis Shammai Domra in Shele Behekdish. Rashi Amatos Tefsrib Beshut Echot Lamai Hochasa. But I was according to Beis Shammai who holds that there is no such thing as a revocation of a vow for Hekdish. That Beis Shammai agrees that there is Hataras Nedarim, but there is no Hataras Nedarim for Hekdish. So then what does he do with Rashi Amatos? To which the Gemara says, Les Luhu Gzeres Shava. It's not a big deal because Beis Shammai in general does not hold of this Gzeres Shava at all. Fine. Zehadavar Beparshas Nedar Lamaiksiv. So we'll say again, let's see what the Gemara is doing over here. The Gemara is just pointing out that there's some type of connection, or not just some type, a strong connection between the Parsha of Nedarim and the Parsha of Shchut Echutz. They both employ the same verbiage. So the Gemara is trying to figure out what the phrases therefore mean by each of the particular sections. So what does it mean when it says Zahadavar, this is the matter? What does that mean by Parshas Nedarim? Lamaiksiv, why is that written? Oh, we just learned that before. Lomar, Chacham Matir Vein Ba Matir. Ba Mefer, Vein Chacham Mefer. Zahadavar teaches us, Rabbi said, there are very clearly defined frameworks for revocation and annulment of vows. That a Chacham could do Hatara, but he can't do Hafara. A husband could do Hafara, but he can't do Hatara. So what about, what does the phrase Zahadavar, what does that teach us by Shchut Echutz? Lomar, ala shchita chayiv, vein chayiv ala malika. This is very interesting. It teaches us that you are only chayiv for slaughtering an animal outside of the Beis HaMikdash, but you are not chayiv for malika. And so I will say, what's malika? So the kohanim among us know that you have to make sure to grow your thumbnail a little bit longer, right? Because there's a very interesting avoda by bird sacrifices that they do not have regular shechita. Rather, the whole coin would hold the bird in his hand, the neck of the bird facing away. He'd be facing the back of the neck. The coin would insert his thumbnail, essentially breaking the back of the neck of the bird and flick the head off. That's called malika. So Rabbi says, so the halacha is, interesting halacha, that you're only chayiv for shchut echutz by actual shchita, but you're not chayiv for shchut echutz by malika. Okay, so the Gemara says, Ela Beis Shammai lahachshir gimel yotos minolan, but where does Beis Shammai learn that even three regular people are permitted to go ahead and do Hataras Nedarim? Meaning, how do I know that they could act as a Beis Din for revocation of vows? Nafka luhu, midrav Asi Bar Nosson. We learned that after of Asi Bar Nosson, Dichsiv, what does Rasi Bar Nosson say? What does the Pasuk say? Vayidaber Moshe es Moadei Hashem al Bnei Yisrael. So the Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke about all Moadei Hashem, all the Yomim Tovim, to Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Vayidaber Moshe es Moadei Hashem al Bnei Yisrael. Vatanya, we learned, Rabbi Yosef Lili Omer, Moadei Ne'emru, Velo Ne'emra Shabbos Bereshis Himayim. That is interesting. So we'll say, listen to this. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Rabbi Yossi HaGlili interpreted the Pasuk in the following way. The Pasuk says, Vaydaber Moshe es Moadei Hashem al Bnei Yisrael. So Rabbi Yossi HaGlili says, you know, it's interesting that the Parsha of Moadim only talks about Moadim and doesn't talk about Shabbos Bereishis. Now we'll say, what does Shabbos Bereishis mean? Shabbos Bereishis is the way that often Chazal just referred to Shabbos. Shabbos Bereishis is Shabbos. So says Rabbi Yossi, it's interesting that in the section of the Yomim Tovim, Chazal spoke about the Yomim Tovim, but they did not speak about Shabbos. Ben Azai says, Mo'adei ne'emru, v'lo ne'emar parshas nedarim imoim. And Ben Azai says, it's all part of the same braisa, that in the section of Yomim Tovim, it talks about Yomim Tovim, and doesn't talk about nedarim. Now, what I'm saying, this is a very strange braisa. Like, what does that mean? That in the parsha of Mo'adim, it only talks about Mo'adim, it doesn't talk about nedarim? Why would we think it would talk about nedarim? So let's analyze this. Rav Asi Bar Nosson Kashi Le Hamas Nisa. So Rav Asi Bar Nosson when he would see this braisa, it bothered him a lot. And I will say, now both statements bothered him. Rabbi Yossi Aglili's statement bothered him, and Ben Azai's statement bothered him. So what happened? Asal in Narda l'kamed Rav Sheshes. So he went to Narda to ask Rav Sheshes to explain the braisa to him. V'lo ashkache. But yet when he came to Narda, so Rav Sheshes wasn't there. Asa abashe l'mechuzah. So apparently Rav Sheshes went to Mechuza. And interestingly enough, Rav Asi Bar Nasan followed him there. So he asks Rav Sheshes to explain the braisa. So here, look at this. Amrlei, Moade Hashem Nemru Velo Nemra Shabbos Breishes Iman. So first of all, what's the problem with the braisa? Rabbi Yossi Aglili said that in the parasha of the Yom Tovim, it only talks about the Yom Tovim and doesn't talk about Shabbos. So first of all, it's not true. Hak Siv Shabbos Imoem. First of all, it's not true, by the way, because Shabbos is mentioned in the parasha of the Moadim. So what does Rabbi Yossi Galili mean when he says it's not mentioned? This too, furthermore, Moadei Hashem Ne'emru, v'lo parasha sadarim mohem. So listen to this. Furthermore, Ben Azai said that the parasha of Moadim only speaks about the Yomim Tovim, but does not speak about Nedarim. First of all, it's not true. V'ha misitra k'siva. So what does it mean, Baha Mr. Chuksi? Look at the Ran. So now we're looking 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom of the Ran. Baha Mr. Ksiva, Parshas Nedarim, Ksiva Bikatse, Parshas Amoados, Divisader Pinchas, Ksivi Kulu Moados, Ubasar Hachi, Barashi Amatas, Parshas Nedarim. So we'll say, first of all, it's not true. Interestingly enough, the Parsha of Nedarim follows exactly where? Right after the section of the Yomim Tovim, Parshas Pinchas. So we'll say, so the Braisa is flawed on both accounts. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, the Parsha of Yomim Tovim only speaks about Yomim Tovim, doesn't speak about Shabbos. Not true. The Parsha of Yomim Tovim also speaks about Shabbos. Number two, Rabbi Azai wanted to say the Parsha of Yomim Tovim only speaks about Yomim Tovim, doesn't speak about Nedarim. Parshat not true as well. Right after the section of the Yom Tovim, what's mentioned there? The Parsha of Nedarim. So what's going on over here? To which the Gemara says, Amar Lehachi Katani. So Rav Sheshes says, now remember, this is Rav Sheshes. This was Rav Asi Bar Nasan was one who was bothered by this braisa. He's coming to Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes now says, I'm going to tell you, Amar Lehachi Katani. This is what it means to say. Amud Beis. Moade Hashem tzrichin kiddush beizdin, Shabbos bereishis in tzricha kiddush beizdin. What it teaches us is the following: Rabbi Yossi Aglili was trying to teach us is the following. What does it mean when he says that Shabbos is not included in the parsha of Moadim? He wasn't referring to the fact that the parasha doesn't include a mention of Shabbos. What he's saying is that Shabbos is not included in the halachos of the Yom Tovim. What does that mean? That by the Yom Tovim, Rabbi Yossi, who determines when the Yom Tovim are? Beis Din. Right? Beis Din determines when the Yom Tovim are. By declaring the new month, Beis Din goes ahead and establishes the order of the Yom Tovim. However, Shabbos Bereishis ein tzarech kiddush. Oh. But Rabbi Yossi, who determines when Shabbos is? So Shabbos is a function of a calendrical, of a weekly reality. I'll show you the proof to this. We saw this Gemara. The Gemara of Shabbos brings down, let's say someone's traveling in the desert and they get lost. And I lose track of time. So what do? Right? I start counting day one, and I count 7 days, and the seventh day is Shabbos. What that shows you is that Shabbos is a day that is just built into the cycle of time, independent of anyone else's establishment of time. So therefore, what Rabbi Yossi Aglili meant was that Shabbos is not included in the Parsha of Moadim. Because where does the Parsha of Moadim require the Beis Din to establish the new month? To tell me when Yom Tov is going to be, that is not true when it comes to Shabbos. So we'll say, look at the rush. Let's assume for a moment it's on the left-hand column of your page. So the rush in the margin says the following: Moadei Hashem tzrichin kiddush Beis Din. So he says shemekanshin Beis Din Rosh Chodesh Nisan la'asos Pesach b'chamisha Shabbos. He gives you an example. Like Beis Din has to establish the month of Nisan to establish for us where or when I should say Pesach is going to be. Shabbos Bereishis, the next rush. Lefi shegam ha'moadim kriin Shabbos. Lahachi kari Shabbos Bereishis. Fine. In tzarach kiddush beis din. Shekidshu beis din yom rishon. Laslo Shabbos Yom HaShvi, because of Moadei Hashem Yisir, the Me'uti Shabbos Kedush. So let's say, for example, we do not require Beis Din to go ahead and get up on every single Sunday and say what? We hereby declare this day the first day of the new week. Beis Din doesn't have to do that. So Yom Tov requires sanctification. Shabbos does not require sanctification. And that's what Rabbi Yossi really meant when he said that Shabbos is not included in the parasha of the Yom Tovim. What about the next part? So Shabbos Pesach Ein Tzricha Kiddush Beis Din. Moadei Hashem Tzrichin Mumcha Vein Parshas Nedarim Tzrichin Mumcha. So we'll say, what did Ben Azai mean when he said that Nedarim is not included in the section of Yomim Tovim? This is what he meant. He meant that, we'll say, for the declaration of the new month, Kiddush Beis Din. Excuse me. Moadei Hashem Tzrichin Mumcha. We'll say, to establish the new month, what do you need? You require experts, right? You require a Beis Din of experts. So we learn this in Rosh Hashanah, that you can't just have three guys come along and from a Beis Din and say, Mekudosh, Mekudosh. Doesn't happen. You need Mumchen. Ve'in Parshas Nedarim Tzrichin Mumcha. Rather, Afilu Beis Din Had Yotos. But Jabosai, when it comes to Ataras Nedarim, so remember again, if you want to go ahead and annul through one person, you need a Mumcha. But if you want to assemble a Beis Din, it could even be a Beis Din made up of who? Of regular guys. So we'll say that's what Ben Azai meant when he said that the Parsha of Nedarim is not included in the section of Moadim. That to establish the new month, you need a Beis Din of Mumchim, a Beis Din of experts. But for Ataras Nedarim, you could even use a Beis Din of Hedyotos. So we'll say, so now Baruch Hashem, Rav Sheshes has solved what the Braisa meant. So the Braisa that began with seemingly two enigmatic statements. Rabbi Yosef Lili telling me that Shabbos was not included in the Parsha of Moadim, although it's not true. Shabbos is in the Parsha of Moadim. So Rav Sheshes means that Shabbos is not included in the halachos of the Parsha of Moadim. That Moadim required, the Yom Tov required declaration of Beis Din, new month. However, Shabbos is not required declaration of Beis Din. And when Ben Azai says that Nedarim is not included in the section of Moadim, that's not true. Nedarim follows right on the heels of the section of Moadim. Again, what is he coming to teach us? He's coming to teach us that whereas declaration of the new month requires a Beis Din of Mumchim, a Beis Din for the sake of Ataras Nedarim could even be what? Even a Beis Din of Hedyotos. Ksiv. I'm sorry, actually. Baha, so the Gemara says the following. Baha, Beparshas Nedarim, Rosh Hamatos Ksiv. But now, we'll say, so now we've got a problem. What's the problem? So on one hand, you just told me that Halacha Lemaisa, first of all, we'll say, just before we go on, take a look at Moadim Tzrichin Mumcha, Dixiv, and I'm sorry, Back in the Rush. It's interesting, right, how in the Ran, there's so many different commentaries to choose. There's really no other Masechta like this, where again, you've got the Ran, the Rashi, the Rush. Even Tosas, as you've noticed again, in this particular Masechta is different than regular Tosas, which is interesting. So the Rush points out, the Rush says, Moadim Tzrichin Mumcha, so he says, Dixiv, Moadei Hashem Asher Tikru Osam Kari Be Atem Umoshe V'Aram Mumchem. So we'll say, just so you know, what the Rosh is pointing out is, how do you know that ultimately, again, for the declaration of the new month, you require Mumchem? How do I know that? So the Rosh says, we learned this in Rosh Hashanah, but the Rosh says, I'll tell you how. Because the Pasuk says, Moadei Hashem Asher Tikru Osam. But Osam is written chaser without the vav. These are the appointed times of God that you shall declare them. So Osam, when written chaser without the vav, could be vocalized as how? As atem. So God is saying to them, you guys could go ahead and declare the new month. Now who are the you guys that the Ribbono Shel Olam is talking to? He's talking to Moshe, Aaron, and Aaron's sons. Who Rabbosai all fit the bill as being who? Mumchim, as experts. So from here we see that declaration of the new month could only be done through mumchim, could only be done through experts. Fine. Now that we've established that, so that's the contrast. So Kiddush HaChodesh could only be done through mumchim, could only be done through experts, but yet Hataras Nedarim could be done even through a Beis Din of Hedyotos. Fine. Now that we've established that, I think I was going to ask a kash on that. Amr of Chista, Vaha, Parshas Nedarim, Vaha, Beparshas Nedarim, Rosh Hamatos Ksiv. But the Bosa, here's the problem. You just told me that by Ataras Nedarim, I can even use a Beis Din of Hedyotos. But how is that so? Because after all, by Parshas Zemar, the pasuk, they use the lashon of what? Rashi Amatos. And Rashi Amatos seems to indicate what? Seems to indicate what? Mumchim. Right? Rashi Amatos means the leaders of the tribes, which seems to indicate again Mumchim. And therefore, perhaps, even for Ataras Nedarim, I should have to go ahead and use Mumchim to go ahead and negate the vow. To which the Rashi Amrav Chista, the Tamer Rabbi Yochanan, Biyochid mumcha. But also, now this is actually very interesting. Now what this is saying is like this. Yochid mumcha means what? Yes, the pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the Rashi Amatos. So there are two ways you could view that. The Havamina is, maybe Rashi Amatos refers to the collective group, to which Kamashma, no, Rashi Amatos refers to who? To the individuals who are assembled. Therefore, Rashi Amatos teaches us that yes, if you want to go ahead and annul a vow by using one individual, that individual must be what? Must be a mumcha. But if you want to go ahead and use a group, use a basin of three, that basin of three could even be comprised of head yotos. To which the Gemara says the following. Amrav Chanina. Hashos. And I will say, okay, fine. So that ends that particular sugya. Very interesting sugya. So the Gemara goes weiter. Now this is another interesting case. Hashosek al menas lemeket. So I'll say, listen to this. Let's say a husband, look at the rush again once more. Actually, we're going to look at the Ran and the Rush. So the Rush says over here, "Shosek amenas lemekat." What does that mean? "Lahaknit ulitzair ishto aval da'ato lahafer." Well, says, listen to this. Oh, my wife made a vow, and what happens? I'm really upset at her for making the vow. So you know, so sometimes you can see a situation, by the way, where a wife would make a vow, knowing, you know, sometimes it doesn't happen often. But sometimes people say things just to make a point, but they don't really mean it. So what happens? So let's say again, a wife makes a vow, knowing that her husband is not going to make the going to annul the vow. He doesn't want this. So what does the husband do? The husband says, "Okay, you know what? I could do one better. You know what? You want to make that vow? Fine. Go ahead." Right. So what happens? So he's silent. Now he knows he's going to annul the vow, but it's like a shtickle game of chicken, right? Marital chicken, right? So what happens over here? So he knows he's going to annul the vow, but he doesn't want to say anything right now. So he's quiet for the sake of making her, you know, giving it back to her a little bit. But his intention is to go ahead and annul. But his intention from the beginning was always to annul the vow. So look at that rush for just a moment. So the rush says, "Hashosik amanat lemeket lahaknit ulitzar ishto." His intention is just to make her uncomfortable. About that or the hafer, but it's clearly his intent to ultimately annul. Let's simply look at the Ran. It's supposed to say it's six lines up from the bottom of the Ran. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, "Shosek amenas lemekat, kedei lahaknit leishto, shetei svura shedaita lekayim." He wants her to think that his intention is to uphold the neder. However, v'hu eino miskavin lekach, ela sheyafer la la'achar mikan. He just wants to make her squirm a little bit. So what happens? I'm sorry. So Mefer afilu mikan va'ad yud yamim. So Moshe said, this is actually very interesting. So Rabbi Hanina says that even if he was quiet for 10 days, he has the right to annul even 10 days there. Now Moshe, now you understand, of course, that this is an incredible chiddush, because normally, again, the window for revocation is a day. So again, so what's happening over here? So now, so Rabbi Hanina wants to suggest that since it was his intention to really annul it from the beginning, so he has the ability 10 days later to tell his wife, "I'm going to annul it." So the Gemara says, "Masiv Rava." So Rava raises a kasha. "A masai amru me sabal nisrok no rishos la'av." We'll say, he's going back a little bit. So we learn this. When do we say that if the husband dies, his rights of revocation revert back to the father? Bizman shelo shama habal. Either in a case where the wife made an edda, the husband never heard about it. Oh, sheshama v'shasak, or he heard it but he was quiet. Oh, sheshama v'hefer umeis bo bayom. Either he heard about it and he was quiet, or he heard about it and he was mefer, but he died on the day of the neder. Aval shama v'kiyem. But if a husband heard the neder and ultimately upheld it. Oh, sheshama v'shasak, or he heard about it and he was quiet. Umeis biyom shel acharav, and he died the next day, meaning he affirmed it. Ein yachal lahafer, he may not go ahead and annul the neder. So both sides. So what do you see from here? You see from here that if a husband was quiet, according to this statement over here from the Mishnah, that if a husband was quiet, husband heard the neder, and then what? He didn't say anything that day. Let's say he heard the neder on Monday, and he didn't say anything, and he died on Tuesday. So what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says the father no longer has the rights to revoke the vow. So my love b'shosik amenas lemekit. Are we not talking about a case where he heard the vow. His intention was to annul it. But what? He wants to make her squirm a little bit, so he decides not to annul it. But yet, again, the Mishnah still rules that what, Rabbosai? That once he affirmed it, he didn't say anything for that day, the neder is effectively affirmed. Even though what? It was his intention to go ahead and annul it. So this is a stira. This is a contradiction to what Rabbi Hanina just said, to which the Gemara says, lo, that's not the case. Lo, b'shosek amenas l'kayin. The case over there was what Rabbosai. The reason why in that case the father can't revoke the vow once the husband dies is because in that case the husband's silence was with the intention to uphold it. Ihachi hainu oshama vikiye. But Rabbosai, if that's the case, that his silence was meant to uphold the neder, then is that not the same case as the husband who heard it and ultimately had in mind to uphold it? So which means ela b'shosek stam. Rather, no. The case actually of the Mishnah is a case of where the husband was quiet and what we call shosek stam. Shosek stam also means what? Take a look at the last line of the Ran. Shelo gamar belibo shiyehe mekuya me'ata velo shosek gam kin amanas lameket ele shosek stam. But Rabbosai, he's quiet. And what's his silence? We don't know what to do with his silence, right? Sometimes silence, we're not sure. Doesn't mean that he wanted to uphold it. Doesn't mean that he didn't want to uphold it. So Rabbosai, what the Mishnah's teaching me is in this case over here, where a husband heard the neder, and he was quiet. And we don't know what the silence meant. Did the silence mean that he was going to go ahead and uphold it or negate it? And then what happens, Rabbosai, he doesn't do anything for that day. And he dies the next day. We rule l'chumra. And we say, we assume that silence was what? That silence was affirmation. Therefore, when he dies, father no longer has the ability to go ahead and revoke that neder. But Rabbo said this does not pose a kasha to the statement of Rabbi Hanina, because Rabbi Hanina, remember, so Rabbi Hanina's statement still holds. Rabbi Hanina's statement of, again, that if a husband is quiet, but again, from the beginning when I heard the neder, my intention was to revoke it, so why didn't I? Why didn't I revoke it? Because I'm looking to make my wife uncomfortable, right? I'm looking, she tried to give it to me by going and making the neder. Oh, I'm going to have the upper hand, I'm going to show her, and I'm not going to say anything, even though it's my intent to be made for it, but I don't want to be made for it now. So Rabbi Hanina advances an incredible chiddush, Rabbosai, that l'maisa, even if I'm silent for 10 days, and 10 days later I go ahead and decide to revoke the vow, since it was my intention from the beginning to revoke the vow, ultimately such a revocation will work.
Last week we learned that when he comes back, when the husband goes away and he comes back and he plans to do a farah, but
he didn't hear it. He didn't hear it. The difference is he's not hearing it till he got back. Oh no! That's why he creates the retroactivity clause. He creates it in case he forgets to articulate, I'm hereby being made for the neder. But that whole process is only triggered when he hears the neder. This is an incredible chiddush, because Rabbi Hanina is saying, since my intent from the beginning was to go ahead and be made for the neder, what he seems to be saying is it's almost like the hafar really took place already when? Ready when? When I heard it. But the verbal articulation of that internal process is not taking place till 10 days later. And Rabbi Hanina seems to be saying again that Lamaisa, that'll work. We'll stop over here for today. We're going to continue. Rav Chisda is going to challenge this statement of Rabbi Hanina Mir Hashem tomorrow. Shkoyach. No. So 10 days is just an exception. It could be 5 years. Could be fine. Yeah. Well, I don't know if he's still going to be married, but you know, that the neder might be the least of his problem. This is one of these classic you don't love me moments, right? This was, you know, I made the neder, I expected you to annul it. Okay. I don't know. I heard this from someone else.
Does she need to bring